Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday evenings, just here to talk about all things political, all things American, all things patriotic, anything you got to talk about, anything you want to say. Our call in number 718-305-7176. And tonight I do want to take and have just a moment of silence for the victims in the Colorado shooting. So if everybody would just take a minute and send your thoughts or your prayers, whichever you prefer, we're going to do that for just a moment. Okay. I don't really want to rehash that story as that's still unfolding as to really what was going on and what was the motivation behind the shootings and who this person is that they have in custody. So, we do want to know the people of Colorado to know that we're thinking of them and their prayers are with them. So But as a first political discussion tonight, I think I want to go with, first of all, I want to talk about what's going on with Michelle Bachmann and the Tea Party and the rush to try to villainize them by the establishment, the GOP, Senator McCain, Senator Boehner. They're criticizing her for daring to question, you know, the loyalty or whether there might be some actually Muslim Brotherhood involved in our government. And what the reasons behind that might be. And personally, you know, as I've tweeted out several times, I totally believe that they're afraid of the Tea Party because the Tea Party is an independent group of thinkers. I don't consider myself Tea Party. I'm more Republican, you know, right wing. But I associate with many of their ideas as far as limited government and different things that they call for. And most of my interactions with them have been very cordial, very informative, and nothing to be afraid of. So, hey, is that Billy?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Billy. Yeah.
Hey.
I just started out talking about Michelle Bachmann, how they're trying to villainize her because she would dare to suggest that they need to examine if there's any ties of the Muslim Brotherhood within the administration or within the Congress. And,
right. Well, there's been talk about Hillary Clinton's Pakistani, Anthony Weiner's wife. I don't remember her name. Uma something.
Yes. And
her mother supposedly is part of the Brotherhood and all this other junk.
Right. She was like head of the charity that was considered funding for the terrorists and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right.
And instead of actually, you know, taking this as a serious consideration, all they did was ask them to, you know, look into backgrounds, which is not much to expect if you've got people with access to sensitive information that you actually know for sure who or what or where they came from. And
yeah.
And now they're trying to victimize, or not victimize, but they're trying to make her the scapegoat, and they're trying to make this about her and not about the actual issue of the day. And I think it's just the establishment, you know. And by the establishment, I mean the Washington culture. It's like they got to protect each other. They got to protect their money. So they have to villainize the people who really want this country to be America and be the America that our founding fathers wanted it to be. You know, as, you know, Thomas Jefferson said, if this country falls, it's going to fall from within. And it's just amazing what we're having to actually fight and go through. And we're not just dealing with, say, Democrats or liberals. We're dealing with some within the Republican Party, and that's brought sharply out this week with this thing going on with Michelle Bachmann. And hopefully it will raise a few eyebrows out there. I don't know. You know.
Well, you know, I'm not a fan of the, I want to say, I'm not a fan of those who promote Sharia law in our nation.
Right.
I think that Sharia law belongs in those nations such as, you know, the ones that are predominantly Muslim, Islam, you know. I think if that's the way that their religion operates, you know, Allah, God bless them, you know. And I think personally, though, here, those promoting, you know, doing away with our own traditional values, that's where I draw the line. You know, our traditions need not be, you know, disturbed or taken out of their sacrosanct meaning, you know, for what this nation is found on, and what it means to most of us, many of us.
Right.
But I think in their nation, we have no right to actually tell them not to, you know, live by Sharia law. And if the Muslim Brotherhood take over, then so be it. However, I do not like the fact that the idea of said, you know, brotherhood is anti-Israel. You know, I don't think any other nation should be telling another nation they don't have the right to exist.
Right.
And then I get really upset at that, too. that, you know, there is, and I know, I can't say I know the Muslim culture because I've never really lived it, but I have studied it. It's almost like President Obama. He didn't know how to be president, but he studied it and he thought he knew. So I can't say that I know the Muslim culture, but what I've studied about it is rather scary when you look at it to some extent, but it's also a very, it's meant to be a very peaceful, loving, you know, type thing. But also if you look back all the way to Muhammad, the founder of Islam, he himself didn't even know if his quote-unquote aberration was an angel from Allah, or was it Allah himself, or was it Satan or a demon. He wasn't even sure. So he kind of like always would curse himself. He'd say, you know, if it wasn't God, may I, you know, die, basically. If it wasn't Allah, I hope that, you know, I'm hoping I'm doing his bidding, basically. You know, he was like always cursing himself that, may I drop dead now if it wasn't him, you know.
Right. Which is, not, and, you know, it's like, yeah, like that's going to happen. But, yeah.
Yeah, right. May I be struck by lightning and stuff like that. He lived his life doing that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. It's just become an abusive segment of that religion, you know, where they kill the infidel and they apply that literally. And,
but see, that's not even really part of Islam itself. That's part of the Hadith. Okay, it's not directly in the Quran. It's Muhammad's own personal journal, which was attached. It's called the Hadith. Now the Hadith basically declares Jews and Westerners altogether as infidels, and Christians in particular. And it was basically their way of isolating themselves from everyone else around them. They didn't want, you know, they don't like infiltration. They don't like being, having people come in and disrupt their happy-go-lucky lifestyle, you know?
Right. Well, hang on a minute. I'm going to bring in, we have Thomas on the line, so I'm going to bring him live and say hello. Hey, Thomas.
What's up?
What's up? Well, we got rain, and it's good.
Don't rub it in.
Oh, I tell you, it was so dry here, and we've had rain now, I think, 3 days in a row, so it's that's all good.
Yeah, well, we've had 105 degrees 3 days in a row.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, yes. That's not fun. So, what you got to say tonight?
Oh, I don't know. Muhammad was a pedophile, that's all.
That's all, yeah. Well, and it comes back to, you know, like Billy said in the beginning.
Back to
what he
said about
every
Muslim, because they'll marry 14-year-olds.
Yeah, but...
So,
what?
I mean, and it's also, you know, it's part of, what's it called, Mormonism even, was, you know, based on the idea of multiple wives and young wives. So there's a lot of, and even if you look at our own Bible. Most of the women in there were wives by the age of 12 and 14. Once they became women, they were wives. So, you know,
even
they're
back
following
in America. They were, you
what
know,
they're
probably 15.
Doing, though, what they're doing is they're living their life totally biblically by their doctrine of the word, of the words they live by. And yes, to me it's pedophilia. To you it's pedophilia. To their own personal interpretation of their religion, it really isn't. It's the way that God intended them to be.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Just because that's their interpretation doesn't mean it's right.
Oh, no,
because,
I'm not saying it's right.
No,
I'm just saying that...
I know.
You know, but you're going by Muhammad. Muhammad lived, what, what was that, 1100, so that's like 1,000 years, or 100, yeah, almost 1,000 years ago. Yeah.
But here's the thing with that. This is where the moral dilemma comes in. People call good evil and evil good, and nobody wants to take a moral stance for what the things that are truly right or wrong. You know,
right? I agree with that.
We know based on. I mean, let's put it like this.
But the thing that I'm getting at is your definition of moral is not the same as their definition of moral. And when it comes down to it, this is where the liberal ideology and their emotional attachment comes in. This is where liberals get their talking points from, is the emotion of the day, the emotions of the society is let people live their own lives and stay out of it, you know, type of thing. And it's
unless,
not our morality that should dictate their actions.
You know, that's kind of funny, though. That's kind of funny because as liberals like to say, stay out of my bedroom, or some of those retarded feminist whack jobs like to say, stay out of my vagina.
But yeah.
Yet they want their health, their contraceptives to be.
But they want you to
for.
Pay for the actions they
minute.
Promote with their vagina.
Wait,
I know.
Wait a minute. Didn't you tell me to stay out of your vagina? So therefore, stay out of my pocketbook.
So give me my diaphragm back.
and
I paid for it.
And stay out of our bedrooms and keep your bedroom in your bedroom instead of bringing it into the public like they were doing.
Exactly.
Which leads us on to this Chick-fil-A thing where you can't have opinion anymore here in the United States unless it agrees with the gay lesbian agenda, because you'll be penalized even for having an opinion. They'll go after your corporation, which is what they're doing
right.
with Chick-fil-A, and Jim Henson has pulled the Muppet support from them. Well, I say, okay,
no,
quit watching the Muppets.
No, not Jim Henson. It was his daughter. It was his daughter.
Well, that's right, because Jim Henson's dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, he is.
Well, anyway.
But the thing is, also with that, did you hear about the Georgetown? Georgetown now is requiring in their general education courses a LGBT sensitivity class. And Keira Davis is basically going to be talking about that tonight, I guess, about how a student protested, said, I'm not going to take that class. So they, like, suspended him and his scholarship.
Well,
that's discriminatory.
Wait. They didn't suspend his scholarship unless something else has happened. They kicked him out of his summer program. I know. I called Georgetown this morning about it, and one of the guys who was a gay guy, by the way, he doesn't know that I know he was gay, but he got all smart with me when I was asking him about the situation just to see if he knew what I was alluding to. He did, but he's like, in the first place, Mr. Smith, you speaking out vaguely and now. And I'm like, dude, there's nothing more annoying than a black individual who's gay. Because it sounds really stupid in how they talk, and I'm just being real. And before you call me a racist homophobe, folks, I'm black. And I care less about anyone thinking I'm intolerant, because I'm not intolerant. But at the end of the day, until homosexuals decide that they're going to stop complaining about Christians, I'll say whatever I want to say whenever I want to say it and to whom I choose to say it.
Right. But it's not just criticizing. They're trying to shut them down. They're trying to shut down the business of Chick-fil-A because the owner happens to have an opinion, which he is entitled to under the First Amendment, and he's entitled to speak that opinion. He didn't give any hate speech. He just said he's not for gay marriage. And so
yeah,
now they're
he
running around.
Traditional man and woman marriage. That's what he says.
Yes, but not through his business. I mean, really? Come on, this is just
right.
The owner's opinion. And yet, look what they did to the Komen Foundation when they tried to pull funding from Planned Parenthood.
Right.
You know, look what
and
the liberals did to them. It is so un-American and unpatriotic what they're doing in the cause of their agenda to force on everyone. They want everyone to fall in line, which is not American. We're all entitled to our opinion. We're all entitled to our free speech. It doesn't make it hate because you don't agree with them. You know, it doesn't mean you hate the people and you're going to kill them or do something crazy. But they are vicious and venomous in their trying to destroy this business now because this owner is,
but
you know, Christian.
Here's the problem with that. Good luck with that, because that man is worth about, I guess, a good $400-500 million. And he can afford the lawyers that he needs to. And quite frankly, if I was him, I would take a good, I don't know, if it was me, I'd take a good $20-30 million of my money, and I would fight him just to, and I would take everything. I would hire the researchers. I would pull everything that they've ever done. I would demand a jury trial, a civilian jury trial, and present the evidence. You always want to talk about me being discriminatory and all this stuff. Well, now I'm gonna present evidence to you of the numerous cases where homosexuals have discriminated against non-homosexuals. Case in point, everybody, do you know, you remember hearing about the Matthew Shepard case?
Oh.
Gay guy in Wyoming who was beat up.
What
in
was
a,
that?
Matthew Shepard, the gay guy.
Oh, yeah, the gay guy who got, like, strangled by the fence or something. They ended up, you know, he got, like, totally, in
well,
the barbed wire.
Well, you want to hear, see, they passed that off as it was a hate crime because he was homosexual.
Right.
But there's actually a but in there. That's not what happened. That was actually a drug deal gone bad because Matthew Shepard was out there buying drugs. And either he had not paid or he did something that he wasn't supposed to, and the drug dealers beat him to death. Now, contrast that at the same time, and I can pull up the story about it from the Frederick Douglass Foundation website. There was a young man who was brutally raped and murdered by two homosexual men. You never heard that. You never heard that story because the media kept it, and it's still never been widely known.
But again, that's the agenda.
The media gets the hype. They always go out and get in front of the hype. But when facts turn around and totally debunk the hype, they won't be part of it.
No,
they ignore it and let it pass.
And instead of just reporting facts, they go for the sensationalism and they always go to the left.
Right.
They only know if there's something that is bad. You know, like just like right now, they're not reporting on the bad economy and everything like that. They won't admit Romney's tax returns, which, you know, that's Mitt's money. It's his own money to spend as he chooses. Let's go look at what Obama did with taxpayer money. Why aren't they broadcasting that all over the air, you know?
Because they're trying to
influence the election, and they're trying to influence America because they want him back in because they're part of this. They're part of the liberal agenda, and they're trying to push these causes, such as the gay rights causes. And, you know, like I said, I don't hate gays either. You know, I've actually cared for them as a nurse, but I don't agree with them.
To me, it doesn't matter what they do or what they are, as long as they keep it out of my business and as long as they're not making me pay for it.
Right. And the problem is they're not keeping it out of our business. That's the problem. you know, they're not keeping it out of our
right.
Our
and right. They, you know, but
yeah,
the thing is, well, Chick-fil-A, this is Chick-fil-A is a target for the left no matter what. Why? Because they promote a religious Judeo-Christian philosophy 6 days a week. Atheists have already attacked them on that. And
yeah.
said, oh, well, some people want to work on Sunday. Let them work on Sunday. And they said, no, we are not open on Sundays. And people have attacked them for that. Now they're going after them because he made this comment about promoting, you know, traditional marriage.
Here's the problem that those individuals going after this company have. Chick-fil-A is a privately owned company. They're
right,
not,
it's not
trading
on the NASDAQ,
on
and
the
it's not
NASDAQ
on the New York Stock
or New York Stock Exchange. They're
right.
not subject to SEC regulations or scrutiny.
Right.
Because
exactly.
their stocks are privately held. So all these, excuse my expression, I'm about to get very pissed off for a minute and go on a rant.
Okay.
All these dumbass, no-nonsense, idiotic, atheist, piece of crap liberals need to pull their heads out of the sand, wake up, smell the coffee, and realize they can't hold nothing against Chick-fil-A. And if the United States Justice Department tries to, or any other national relations, national labor relations try to come against them,
exactly.
See, here's the
and
thing,
that's what they want. They want all. They want all businesses on the left. They want all businesses to be on, you know, the New York Stock Exchange, where someone has the ability to buy them out.
Right.
Because that's what they've got Soros on the sidelines, who can actually buy enough shares to buy some of these companies out. Small
right.
businesses like Chick-fil-A, like the other, you know, small businesses.
But Chick-fil-A isn't a small business.
It's considered a small business.
No.
It's a multi-million business, dollar business,
no,
but it is considered.
Actually,
it is considered a smaller business. It's not a Walmart. It's not a, you know, it's not a Fortune 500 business.
Really?
It's not one of the top 500.
Let me tell you what the definition of a small business is. It's based on number of employees. It's from zero
right.
or zero to. 99.
25. No, right.
Oh,
well, as long as they have less than 50 employees, they're considered a small business. And then each Chick-fil-A restaurant, that's where they go by calling it a small business. Each restaurant has less than 25 employees.
But
so it's considered a small business.
No, actually,
just like,
okay, hang on, guys, because actually there was a woman, because of the Obama health care law, was going to try to divide her into two businesses, but still be like the holder of both of those. And they
uh-huh.
said that she would still have to pay the insurance, so she's probably going to
uh-huh.
drop some employees. So it depends on whether the owner actually owns them or if they're individually owned.
Well, Chick-fil-A, the
right,
corporation,
it's franchises.
They have
that's where it
stores,
comes from.
1,600 stores.
Right, and most of them are franchises. Franchises don't count under the main corporate business umbrella. And that's why Chick-fil-A is not a large business. It is considered still a small business operation.
I will.
And
Billy,
and,
I think you just like arguing with me.
Well, no, I'm a business administration major. I'm a business administration. I've got a bachelor's in it. I've already studied all this kind of stuff. I know all about it. You cannot win with me on that, Thomas.
Billy,
what?
I am also a business major, ma'am. I just graduated with my business degree, so we're on the same page.
Well,
nah,
good
nah,
for
nah,
you.
Nah.
And Daniel has a master's in it, so, you know.
Yeah.
I've got all my textbooks still, even. I haven't sold any of them back to the school, which I probably should have.
Which
but,
that brings us back to the point, is that they're making a stand, and on August 1st, Huckabee is calling that we all go out and
that everyone go out to Chick-fil-A. Yep, on
okay.
August 1st,
show
Wednesday.
Our support.
But did you see the show when he says, you know what, we're open 6 days a week, so you can come all 6 days if you want.
No, I didn't. I haven't been watching much of the news on
that
TV,
was awesome.
So. But
the,
I think
what's his name? True Kathy. the guy who owns it. Uh-huh. And actually, you know what? He lives not far from where I lived in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't say his city that he started his first business in is not far from where I lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I don't know if he still lives there. I shouldn't say that he does, because I do not know where he lives now. But the first business they ever opened, it was, I visited it regularly when I lived in Wisconsin. It's the greatest, it's a great place. The thing is that they want every business that makes millions to operate on the New York Stock Exchange, kind of like what Thomas said. They want them to be
it's all about control.
Right, and they want it so that people have that ability to buy them out. You know what? And this is funny because I not long ago looked at Warren Buffett's portfolio of his stock, what he has in stock holdings, that's it. And his holdings for Walmart, he has like 2.9 billion shares of Walmart, but
yeah,
that's
really
only 1.3% of what Walmart has. Now, the thing about Walmart that's great is their employees also own stocks in the business if they so opt, you know, if they opt to do that. My husband himself owns several shares of Walmart stock.
Yeah, my son has Walmart stock. That's what's in his portfolio that he gets through the company. So, because he works there, my son.
Right.
So.
But Walmart is so huge, there is no touching that store in taking away the stock options of the, you know, Arkansas. Is it Arkansas they're in? Yeah, they're in Arkansas.
Bentonville, Arkansas.
Right. There is no taking that away. Yet Warren Buffett wants to, Soros wants to. They want control of that company because they want to make it a union business. They want control of places like Chick-fil-A because they also want restaurants, the NRA, National Restaurant Association, remember Kane?
Yeah.
They want them operating on the union scale too now.
Well, but that's because, why is that because? Because they need the union workers and the money from the unions to push forward their socialist, communist agenda.
Right.
And it comes down to
guess what they just
all
came
about
out
control.
With.
Go ahead.
Yes. But see, the union just lost their battle in court. They were told straight out by the Supreme Court, you cannot force people to promote your political agenda. If the SEIU wants to, you know, fund Obama's campaign, glory be. But they can't make the workers of the business they you know, they're representing put in dues for it.
But they can
which
they
is
still
what they
threaten
were doing.
And they still threaten them. You know, they still threaten them.
You better vote for Obama or else.
Right.
Your job's on the line.
And yet then they turn around and say, we're the ones, you know, that are so unpatriotic and un-American. But it's like, No, I don't think so.
You know what? Larry Trumka's fat ass. Somebody need to beat him to death.
Richard Trumka?
Yeah, whatever that Oompa Loompa
just
looking.
Just think Dick. Dick
Trumka.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to hear this one because I must have missed this one.
That's what he is.
Well, he is, yes. And he is, well, have you ever heard of Eddie York?
Nope. Who is he?
You'd have to go to Michelle Malkin's site, but she wrote a long thing about him. Eddie York was a worker when Trumka first joined the Teamsters, and he was just the union steward. Trumka basically gave the workers the order to kill him because he was speaking out against the union. And this guy ended up dead, and he was beaten to death. But Trumka never suffered any kind of, you know, crime thing for it, even though it was the order of the union steward. These guys all said, yeah, he told us to do it, but they couldn't do it. They didn't do anything to him because he didn't actually have a hand in the guy's death.
Oh, gee. Well, reminds me kind of Chicago-type style politics, does it not?
The union was immune from federal prosecution because they were acting on union business. And that is a federal law.
Murder is a union business?
Right.
Really?
They were immune from federal prosecution because they were acting upon a union order. So basically, nobody had to pay for this guy's death.
Oh, that's insane.
It is insane.
And it's like,
I know.
This election is so, so important to America just because of all these things that are going on. And even in the polling, guys, and they're trying to make this, and they're trying to do this so that they can cheat in November and nobody's going to notice it. But they polled today, or the Washington Street Journal, whatever, and whatever polls. But, you know, Obama supposedly had a 5 or 6 point lead over Romney, but it was a plus 11 Democratic poll. Okay,
right.
So figure that one out. He only had a plus 5-6, so that means half of the Democrats, or, you know, near half of the Democrats weren't going to vote for Obama. So I think they're trying to do poll manipulation in order, if they're going to try to cheat. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind they'll be cheating.
By allowing illegal immigrants to vote.
Yeah, so that's one of the ways they want to do it. Or felons. Or people who are dead, yes. Like we saw in New Hampshire in the primaries where the guy walked in, they just handed him a ballot, and the person was dead. Yeah. Because it's not a burdensome to get a photo ID, especially when they're offered for free. Yeah, there's, you know, most people don't vote in every election anyway. It's only your true, dedicated voters who feel, you know, it's usually a 30% turnout or something ridiculous. And it goes up a little bit for presidential elections. But you've got 4 years between every presidential election in which to get your photo ID. And it's certainly not going to take you 4 years. And if you can make it out to the poll to vote, then you can surely make it over to the DMV to get your photo ID.
Well, get this. Just last week they had a hearing about the Texas voter ID law, right?
Yeah.
And they pulled in this 18-year-old girl who's going to vote for Obama, and she said she will not produce a photo ID, and it's because she hasn't had time to get one. But she had time to spend 6 days in Washington, D.C. at the behest of the Democrats. Now, during that 6 days, she could have said, oh, well, make it 5 days so I can go out and get my photo ID.
Wait a minute now. This is only July, and we don't vote until November. So why does she not have time to go get a photo ID?
She works 20 hours a day, and she's got, you know, school and this and that.
20 hours
has
a day.
Has two children, all this stuff. You know, it's like she was a teenage mom. Well, you know what? Those are circumstances she gave herself.
Not my problem.
You know?
Not my problem.
Her vote being illegitimate is what I call it. Is a problem.
Who had an illegitimate vote? Who y'all talking about? Who?
The girl in Texas, who, even though, you know, Texas wants to pass voter ID, will not show a voter ID, but she will vote for Obama.
Well, not if they have a law.
Oh, yes, she will. This is just so ridiculous.
We have had this law here in Indiana since, I think, 2008. You got to show your license to vote. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. And the Supreme Court
actually had that law in Wisconsin when I first voted. And that was back in the 90s.
Yeah.
They had a law about voter ID. But did you know this year, during the recall election, they have suspended that law.
Well, of course. What precinct had 119% voter turnout?
I know.
Okay. Obviously, no voter ID there.
And still blew them out of the water. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The funny part about that is Walker got like 67% in that county, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy still only came up short with less than 50. Or with less than 40, actually, I think, because there was someone else that there were write-ins for. But as the thing was, they were doing it to get the senator, the what do you call it, the seat for the senator
get the majority
elected, so that they didn't have a Republican majority in the Senate. Now, the other funny part about the whole thing is, guess what happens in November? They all vote again on their new Senate. Guess what happens until November? Absolutely nothing in the Senate. So it was totally bunk.
Waste of government money and funds to run these elections for this recall of Governor Walker and the Senate. But it was done by the Democrats and the liberals because they act like children.
Right.
You know, it's like they had to recall him because he did exactly what he told the people he was going to do, but they didn't like it. So therefore, we don't like it, so we're not going to play by your rules. I mean, this is ridiculous nonsense, and it's not. It's really sad, actually, that there's people
it's
out there.
It's very sad. I agree.
And I watched them try to explain their philosophy and explain this and that, and it's just insane.
I know. You know, the thing that they keep trying to say is that poor people and minorities are going to be disenfranchised because they can't afford a damn ID that's free. You know, that's what's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How can anybody afford something that's free?
Billy.
They can afford to get in their car and drive down to the welfare office and put gas in that car to make sure they make it.
Billy.
Or if not, call the Democratic office in your town and they'll take you down to get your ID because they want
there
you to
you
vote.
Go.
I mean, come on, people.
What? Come on. Now.
Go ahead.
You bring up an interesting point. So when I put a timeout in there, you guys say timeout so I can add my funny point.
What's the funny point? It's got to be funny, though.
You know our economy is so bad.
I know. You think they'd be encouraging some stimulation, right? Photo IDs will be a stimulant to the economy, wouldn't it? If they did cost money. But they're free if you can't afford them.
But here's the thing. Man, Obama must have really jacked up our economy when the poor people can't even afford free IDs.
I know.
Well, you did see the poverty report, guy.
That's what I'm saying. That's like my absolute point. It's like, how on earth can they expect anybody to freaking believe this junk? They are spewing from their dang mouths. It's not even coming out of their butt. It's coming out of their mouths.
How do 40-something percent of the people believe this stuff? They believe this stuff. It's like, the poverty report comes out, and this is the, you know.
I blame that on public education, though.
Yep, that's what makes
them. Some of it's got to be common sense.
No. Yep. See, the thing is, in public schools, they redefine common sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's called stupid sense.
It's called our logic. You know, the leftist logic. And they do manipulate it to the point of making 2 + 2 sound like 4, even though it's like 2020. But it's, you know, it's ridiculous. They have no common sense, but they try believing they have common sense. And they do exactly what Kane always said. They shift the blame,
ignore,
insult, and they name call. Or they ignore the facts and they name call.
Right.
And that is how they find their common sense. They do it by just following the same exact points that they hear from the White House. And
or the news media,
like,
the liberal mainstream media. Yeah, and they,
everybody I have ever talked to that's a liberal has nothing more to say. Everyone I've ever chatted with on Facebook has nothing more to say other than the same stuff you would hear out of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's mouth or Obama's mouth or Stephanie freaking Cutter, the little witch of the West.
It's like it's
actually,
brainwashing.
No, the witch of the West was a good witch, but, you know, the wicked witch of the North or whatever.
Well, yeah, and it was so funny because I don't know the guy's full name, but he goes by Zoe. He's on Internet as a color guy.
Okay.
And he was actually they were protesting Obama, but they were liberals. Protesting Obama, and he's asking them and telling, aren't you racist because you're protesting them? And they couldn't answer him, of course, you know. Of course, they would assume he was liberal because of his skin color, because that's how they are. Well, he goes across the street where the people are going in, and he goes, what do you think about those Tea Partiers over there protesting this? And these people were dumb enough to say that they thought they were racist and they were violent and all kinds of stuff. And, and it wasn't even the Tea Party. I mean, this is
Do you remember the guy from Texas where they were showing part of his body and they kept showing his, like, hip with his gun on it, and they were trying to protest they were trying to promote gun regulations and stuff like that. But when you pan out, the guy's a black guy, and they didn't want to show his face because he was black.
Oh, that's insane.
Because they don't want to make it look like any black people ever promote carry, you know, open carry.
And then they call us racist. You know, they're the one judging by a man's color, you know.
Well, I have to give my props to Ice-T, though. Ice-T has come out with some really good things this week.
Oh, yeah?
He came out actually promoting, you know, saying, hey, you know what, don't blame the guns. Guns are the only defense we have.
Yeah.
You guys do know that he's conservative, right?
I do.
You didn't know Ice-T? See, most people don't know Ice-T is a conservative.
Well, see, you know who's not is Ice-Cube, and a lot of people mix those two up.
Yep.
So when it comes down to Ice-Cube and Ice-T, people will say, no, he's a liberal. And it's like, no, he's actually a conservative. Ice-T is the conservative. Ice-Cube is the liberal.
Yeah, but you got to be careful when you're in the entertainment business or you're in Hollywood or New York, because you'll be blacklisted if you're
Hey, you guys, dude. You know, I'm serious. You guys got to come to OTN once in a while, because Larry O'Connor's in there all the time. Tony Katz is in there all the time. We chatted up with those guys, and they bring celebrity, Kurt Schwichter and all those guys into the chat quite often.
Who, Kurt?
And we
who?
Get to talk with them. Huh?
Kurt who?
You've heard of Kurt Schwichter, right? From Breitbart? He's a big... He's on the Breitbart network.
Yes.
And then Liberty Chick, she's in there quite often. I don't know, lately she's kind of been out of it, but we do this MatchCon every week, and it's Match Game. You know, if you remember the old 70s Match Game, Obama is so stupid, and then everyone says, how stupid is he? Well, he's so stupid that he put a blank in his tea, you know, and then he... You make up something, and then you got to try guessing what the other people are thinking.
Yeah, well, and then, see, my sister and I were having this argument the other day. She thinks he's just doesn't know any better, and I think he's promoting his agenda that he was taught.
Well, and
I think,
that's,
you know,
true.
Exactly.
Both are true.
Both are true. Yeah.
Because he doesn't know any better because he thinks his agenda is right. He does not know any better because he's never worked a day in the private sector. He doesn't know any better. But at the same time, he's not willing to learn. That's the problem. He has, you know what, there's this old saying, if you don't, at first you don't succeed, try again. Well, he hasn't even tried, is what I'm getting at.
I think he's deliberately trying to destroy the economy, because that's what you do. If you look in Solinsky and you read the naked communists, they destroy the economy to make it bad, so that then the government can come in and take over. And what they don't understand.
And you know what, I actually think, though, that Obama has a guilty conscience, that he thinks he himself personally owes back. But he thinks he shouldn't be the only one paying back, because other people have, gotten their big breaks in life off of the backs of the taxpayers. But that's not necessarily true. Just because he did it doesn't mean every rich person out there did. So he's saying, if I'm going to pay back for all the stuff I've taken from the taxpayers, like all my student loans, all my stuff that I owe for, the bridges and stuff that I am grateful for, then I should make every rich person pay them back, because I'm sure they got there without...
Yeah, but they already pay it back. You know, they already pay
it
back.
Exactly, they do.
1-2% are paying, the top 1% is paying 39% of all the gross revenue.
Yeah.
They're already paying it back. That's
right. And right now, did you know the number went up? 39%. Last year it was 53.47. This year it's 51.49. 51% pay all the taxes. 49% pay no taxes.
Right. And the top 2% are paying 43% of all those taxes. So they're already paying more than their fair share.
Right. They say within the top 10% of wealth earners in this nation pay 80% of the taxes.
Yeah. And see, this is what needs to be pushed out there, not the fact that they're not paying their fair share. They're paying for most people and most of the government function, which you know, they're already paying. And I'm certain they're like you and I. They wouldn't mind paying if the government could run itself responsibly, but it's not. Our money's being wasted.
Right, if they weren't sitting here promoting stupid stuff like Solyndra's and the other six companies that fell down with it, and now they came out with more GSA spending today.
Yeah, it's crazy. Government
$20,000 on drumsticks.
And government, by government, I mean the establishment, and I mean Democrats and liberals and Republicans. And this is why they tried to villainize the Tea Party. This is why we need to get the conservative senators elected, like Ted Cruz in Texas, which they're working on now. And there's some other ones out there in different states. We got Richard Murdoch here in Indiana that we're going to push for the general election to be the Democrat who wants to unseat him, who it shouldn't be too hard since he's for Obamacare. And
Todd Akin in Missouri. Let me see.
Did you guys hear what's going on right now with Congress? I'm kind of upset about.
I don't know what's going on.
They are actually funding Obamacare.
What?
Huh?
They have found. Yeah, they had a press conference just the other day with John Boehner and the top people, and they had said, "Are you going to threaten not to fund this for the people who are using it?" And he said, "Of course not." Basically, we have to fund those people who are on it that are taking advantage of it. Have to they've had promises made to them that we can't back down on. So
really?
We need to repeal it if Romney is elected, we need to repeal it in order for that funding to stop. Because he has even mentioned, it's only becoming more and more of a burden to fund it because there's a lot of people that really are taking advantage of it. Regardless of how many people don't like it, there's a lot of people. It's in the upper hundreds of billions of dollars a year that were used on it this year.
Well, I'd like
already to
know who they are, because it certainly ain't anybody I know.
Right. I agree. There's, I don't know anybody either.
I know 34 people, and they aren't getting any advantages from
it. Well,
it
comes down to primarily there's a lot of people. See, this is what a lot of people don't understand about the whole Medicare thing. You know how they say Paul Ryan wants to throw Granny under the bus because of Medicare? Obamacare actually eliminates Medicare. If you are on Obamacare, you don't get Medicare if you're a senior.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to be worse than Medicare because they're going to pay worse the doctors. 83% of the doctors are thinking about quitting.
And that's where they're getting most of their traffic.
And,
most of their traffic right now is being utilized by senior citizens, which is where if they were not to fund it, that's where the Democrats would have their throwing granny under the bus type rhetoric coming right back.
I see, yes. So that's basically they can't do it until the political season is over.
Exactly.
Which we need to do.
I know, but that's just how it is.
And this is why I'm a proponent of term limits, because you need to get in there and do the business of the people and get your butt out of Washington.
I don't think John Boehner is going to win again anyway.
You don't think so?
John Boehner has a lot of people in Ohio, according to Becca, very disgruntled.
But is he
talking to her the other day about
running it against him? That's a Republican, or are they going to elect a Democrat?
Nope, it'll probably be a Democrat because he did win the primary. But there's a lot of people in Ohio that simply do not want him reelected. That's one race that people are predicting that Republicans will probably lose.
I certainly don't like his skill.
Are you saying the Republicans are going to lose the entire thing?
No.
I'm not. I don't make those kind of predictions. I'm saying that when I talked to Becca last, she was telling me about how in Ohio, his race in particular is one that might be a Republican loss, although there's a lot of Republican gains elsewhere in the country. But his might be a Republican loss because a lot of people in Ohio are just very upset with Boehner.
Well, he hasn't really stood up and been a leader in the House.
Well, true.
I agree, he hasn't.
But I don't think he's had the opportunity too, because he's, even though he's like technically third in command in the country by being House Majority Leader, you know,
Harry Reid in the Senate.
Well, if both Boehner and, or if both Obama and Biden were not in office, the next seat would, the next in line for president would be Boehner. And so that's why I say he's like third in command. He's third in line to inherit the throne, so to speak. And it comes down to the fact that since he's got that lingering on him, he's got that responsibility, he himself needs more support from the Senate, from Harry Reid, to pass anything he puts forth.
Harry Reid won't bring anything to the table because he's protecting
Obama's
back.
Harry Reid, right now, they're planning on a tax showdown in the Senate where, Patty Murray from Washington is threatening to basically throw the nation over a cliff and not extend any of the Bush tax cuts.
Which is a good thing for the Republicans if she does that, because then, you know, they'll be held responsible.
Right.
And when you come back to the table, you know, some of them took this no tax pledge. It kind of opens up things. But I want cuts. I want cuts in the wasteful spending that goes on in Washington. I want cuts.
What I want is spending cuts, yes.
Yeah.
I want the cut spending to stop.
And not from the military and not from our elderly.
Everything,
you know,
Obama has laid out already is growing already. You know, education is going up another 20% this year because of student loans and because of other public school policies that are now being initiated with the LGBT programs. So he's funded another 20% to education. The growth is not going to stop unless we get someone in there to stop it.
Right.
And it's not the Congress that can stop it with a president that's going to veto their stoppage, you know?
Well,
so Boehner's just like sitting on his hands.
If you've got a supermajority like the Democrats had, you can override a presidential veto. So, you know, But we need to work on getting that, which is where Ted Cruz and some of these other races become very important, these runoffs that are going on in the next month or two. For the conservative races, we need to we got to break up the corruption. We got to break up the establishment, and we clearly see that John McCain and Boehner are both part of the establishment when they attack Michelle Bachmann for actually suggesting that you do intensive background checks on people working in the government. Now, that to me is common sense, especially when there are the instability going on overseas and the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood over there. It is imperative that we do these background checks, and yet they're trying to make her out as some kind of horrible villain because she dares suggest this. And yet a similar situation happened back when Nixon was in the House or the Senate or something, and there was a guy that he said was a Soviet spy, and all these steps backing him, and then it came out later that he truly was a Soviet spy. So it's just something that we need to keep in mind. And I'm only going an hour tonight, guys, so we got about a minute left. So any last thoughts, Billy?
Well, I just want to say a short show, but I wish we had more time. Hopefully next week we can do something.
Well, next week I'll be out of town, so no show next week unless you want to do it yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully you'll join me for Nobomination then on Thursday if you're not out of town yet.
I will try to do that. I'm leaving Sunday, going to see my daughter in Tennessee. So.
Okay. And then there's Thomas. Is Thomas still online?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got 30 seconds.
Theology Matters on Thursdays, Pro-Life Fridays on Fridays, and Reality in Christ Ministries on Sundays.
Sounds good.
Abomination
on Thursday.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
I said 5 p.m. Central Time.
Okay.
And I was just saying, okay, great.
An Abomination is on at what time?
Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central Time now.
Okay, 7 p.m. Central. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, guys. So if you can tune in on Thursdays, we'll get that. Good night, guys.
Good night.
All
God
right.
bless.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Good night.